All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I had to think about it. Let's review last session. We talked about pebbles. So pebbles were when an animal kicks up a pebble that breaks something else. And the question was, do we pay from the body of the animal or do we pay from the best of our property? More pebbles. Can they become muad? In other words, is there like an usual type of pebbles or an unusual type of pebbles? And then we talked about some special cases in the pebbles category. Chickens hopping. This sounds like a kid song. Dog and the loaf. This was a dog that stole a hot loaf and then set fire to a haystack. Cows that pooped into dough. And finally, roosters crowing into a sealed glass vessel and breaking. And these were all issues, and they were all kind of pointed to be one-off cases, and we didn't really learn anything from it. And finally, we came across the rabbinic institution of teku. So teku means let it stand. It's when the Talmud has two good arguments and doesn't know how to resolve the argument. So it just says, teku, let it stand. Some people think it means Elijah the prophet, when he comes, will resolve all these problems. Now, in general, just to review where we've been. So we're still talking about paying damages. And the general rules are that an animal that does something normal, which is now a muad, which means usual, we pay full damages. An animal that does something unusual, which is a tom animal, we pay half damages. Now, pebbles should be normal and should pay full damages, but the rabbis come along and say there's tradition from Moses at Mount Sinai that it is only half damages. And there's a guy who opposes that, Sumakis, who is a sixth generation Tana with a Greek name. He says it should be full damages. So that's kind of the rules. That's the playing field for tonight. Any question about this? All right, we're gonna start by reviewing the Mishnah briefly because we're dealing now with the last part of the Mishnah. And again, how is the foot muad? Here meaning normal or usual. And it's an animal normally will break things as it walks along. However, and now we're looking at the blue line, if it kicked or pebbles were tossed out from beneath its feet and broke vessels, it pays half damages. So that's the Mishnah we're talking about, and we're starting from the end. So we start off by quoting the Mishnah again. If it kicked or if pebbles were tossed out from beneath its feet and it broke other vessels, the owner pays half damages. They asked, what does he say? So really this is a question now of how do we read this Mishnah? And I tried very hard to align them both in Hebrew and in English so you can see the differences here. So the first possible way is to say, if it kicked and it damaged by its kicking or pebbles in the usual way, he pays half damages. And that's the rabbis, right? Rabbis, half damages. But if you read it a different way, which says, if it kicked and it did damage by its kicking, still the same, or pebbles as a result of the kicking, not in the usual way, he pays half damages. Would it be in the usual way? He pays full damages, and this goes along with Sumakis. So the question here is whether the words, if the pebbles went flying as a result of the kicking, is that a new case of normal pebbles, or is it a continuation of the original if it did damage by its kicking? And therefore makes it unusual. So the actual question now is, how are we going to read this Mishnah like the rabbis in the first example, or like Sumachus in the second example?
Is the words in the usual way in the Hebrew at all?
Yes, I've underlined it and they correspond. Okay. It's not in the Mishnah's quote, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I meant. Right.
Yeah. So it's not in the Mishnah's quote.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. They're adding it when they.
Yes.
Got it. Yes.
And they're adding it because they're giving you their understanding. So it's like, I was going to say, Rashi makes a comment in the Torah. He drops a word in to make you understand what the word means. But they're not rewriting it, right? They're just adding in. So it's pebbles in the usual way, or pebbles as a result of the kicking. So we get a tashma here. And this is the second clause of the Mishnah. So tashma means come in here. Come in here, if you remember, we always have a resha and a seifa, the first part and the second part of the text. So this is the text that follows what we just had. If it trampled upon a vessel and broke it, it is an animal. And this fell upon another vessel and broke it, right? So this is like a cartoon ping-ping reaction. Meaning it stepped on a vessel, the vessel broke into pieces, one of the pieces shot out and broke a second vessel. Then for the first vessel, you would pay full damages because that's normal. And for the other, the second vessel, you would pay half damages because that's unusual. So that clearly follows the rabbis with the full damage and the half damage. And therefore, it cannot hold by Sumachus, because Sumachus holds that the unusual one would still pay full damages. So this reading of the Mishnah works with the rabbis. But now the question is going to be, how does it work with Sumachus? So if you were to say first, now first and second here are the two vessels. So first is the first vessel to be propelled, the original one that breaks under the animal's foot. And second is the shard that is propelled off and breaks the third vessel. Sumachus differentiates between its force and its force of its force. So that's the literal translation, and we talked about this. The rabbis tried to make a distinction between its force, which we would call the direct action, and the force of its force, which we would call the indirect action. So if you remember, we had an example of the chickens are pecking on the rope that holds up the bucket, and they break the rope, and then the bucket falls down and breaks. Who's responsible for the bucket? So that's what Sumachus would say. However, but that which Rav Ashi asks, is it the force of its force according to Sumachus? Is it like its force or not like its force? So Rav Ashi asked this question in the last session was, is the indirect force similar in terms of liability than the direct force? And we learned that it is not like its force. In other words, there are two different things. And the question really here is, we answered this in the last section, and we know the answer. So the real question here is, why is Rav Ashi bringing it up again? He must have a twist in mind. So Rav Ashi is like the rabbis, and this is what he was asking. If it was kicked and it damaged through its kicking, or pebbles flew out in the usual way, you pay half damages. Right, again, that's how the rabbis understand it. Would it be because of its kicking, he pays quarter damages and it is unusual? Or perhaps it was kicking and it damaged through its kicking, or pebbles as a result of its kicking that pays half damages and there is nothing unusual. So The question here is, did the pebbles in the Mishnah fly out from the kicking, which is unusual, or from the walking, which is not unusual? If they flew out from the walking, we could say this is usual, and you should pay half damages. If they flew out from the kicking, that would be unusual, and then you would pay quarter damages, because once again, the rabbis are saying, the rabbis make it half, and you have to pay half for unusual, so it would be half of half. Or the alternative reading is, they flew out through kicking, which is unusual, and nevertheless, you pay half, since there is no consequence to something being unusual when it comes to pebbles. There's no, pebbles are always half. And there's no good answer to this question, so we get another teku, let it stand. And you know the Jewish philosophy, better a good question than a good answer. That's the teku. So we have a follow-up to this. It's not quite a new sugya, but it's its own slide. So it's a, think of it as a follow-up question. Rabbi Abba Bar Memel asked of Rabbi Ami, and some say of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, it was walking in a place where it was impossible not to make pebbles fly, and it kicked a pebble, and it flew out, and it did damage. What? What is the law? Since it was impossible, it is usual, or perhaps in the final analysis, through kicking, it propels the pebbles. So here, if we assume damages were done by pebbles in an unusual way, he would pay quarter damages. The animal's walking somewhere where he can't help but tread on pebbles, I don't know where that is, which would fly out and cause damage. So if it did that, this would have been usual, and according to the rabbis, he would pay half damages. But instead, he sets the pebbles flying in an unusual way by kicking. Do we consider this damage as usual because it would have happened anyway, or unusual, for in fact, that's how it happened? And alas, no answer again, it's a teku. I hope you can sleep at night with this existential problem on your mind.
I would like to see this all on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay, new sugya. But we're still on pebbles. We will get off pebbles, I warn you. So now the Talmud is actually shifting gears, although it doesn't look like it because it's talking about pebbles. But now they're bringing up a new question. What is the liability for pebbles, depending on where the damage takes place, not what kind of damage is it? So Rabbi Yirmiah is going to start a pounding on Rabbi Zerah, and he proposes this question. So the cow was walking in the public domain. It kicked up a pebble, which flew out and caused damage. So what is the liability? Now, there's two possibilities here. And it depends. If you remember back to different categories of damages we did way, way back, is this like the horn, where the owner is liable because the horn is something we expect this to happen? Or is it like foot, where he is not liable and there he is exempt? So the bottom rule here is damages by the foot in the public domain are exempt from liability. So the question here is, since damages by pebbles are unusual, should we treat them like horn and make them liable in the public domain? Or do we think they're like foot and therefore we are exempt? He said to him, Rabbi Zerah is responding, it is more reasonable that this is foot.
Public domain is a road or a path that the public uses?
Yes. Yeah. Very basically, the private domain is your property and the public domain is everything else. So a road is a very good example of that. So think about this in terms of like a kid hitting a baseball, you know, from a ballpark that breaks a window somewhere else. That's the analogy here. And what they seem to be saying is that he's not liable because of where it lands. All right, so that's where we are for the moment. Now, Rabbi Yirmiah follows up. So, propelled in the public domain and causes damage in the private domain, then what? We just said he's not liable for damages by pebbles in the public domain. But what if they land in the private domain? This is really my baseball example, not the last one. He answered him, Rabbi Zera said, uprooting is not here, landing is here. What he's saying, uprooting is the place, the physical place where he kicked up the pebbles. Landing is the place where the pebbles caused damage. So Rabbi Zera is saying that the animal kicked up the pebbles in a place where he is exempt. So you cannot make him liable if he lands in a place where he would be liable, right? So once again, if the cow caused damage in the public domain, he's exempt. If the cow came in through your yard and kicked your window, he's liable. Rabbi Zera is arguing, and now this is really the baseball analogy, since you'd be exempt for the baseball damage in the public domain, you should be exempt in the private domain based on that logic. Rabbi Yirmiah is not having it. He raised an objection. It was walking on the road and it propelled either onto a private domain or a public domain, you're liable. So this is a Braita, and the Braita is saying in a situation where an animal kicks up pebbles and they land either in the public domain or the private domain, you're liable. And if that's true, doesn't it mean, Rabbi Zera, that if he kicked pebbles in the public domain and it damaged in the public domain? So you'd have to walk it backwards because Rabbi Zera said he was exempt and he's saying, no, he's not exempt. He's got to pay for that. And the answer is, Rabbi Zera says, no. This is a case where you're talking about kicking up pebbles in the public domain and breaking something in the private domain. But Rabbi Yirmiah says, you just said that the place where the damage is started is what rules, not where it lands. To which Rabbi Zera admits he's wrong. So he says, I retract that. And you're going to see more of the same, as I said. So Rabbi Yirmiah is now going to pile on to Rabbi Zera.
Is this the first retraction we've seen?
No, we had one in last week as well.
See, I missed 1 week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You should retract that statement.
I retract that statement then. Please consider me retracted.
Okay. So he raised an objection. This is Rabbi Yirmiah again. And he's quoting the text of the Mishnah. And we just saw this before. If you step on a vessel and you break it, and a shard from that vessel flies out and breaks a second vessel, for the first vessel, you pay full damages because that's normal damage. But for the second one, which is unusual, you pay half damage on that. And it was taught in a Barai, and it was taught on this. When is this? So Judy knows this. B'med varim amarim. So I just wanted to highlight that phrase, which is in the second Hebrew line, well, the third Hebrew line, the third, fourth, and fifth words.
Yep.
This is a very familiar Talmudic expression that means, in what circumstances does this statement apply? And usually it comes to limit the Mishnah So it's not general. When is this stuff? Very famous. You'll hear this all the time. So he's asking, okay, we have that baraita. When is this true? And the answer is on the damaged party's premises. Okay, so stop and absorb that. This statement is true on the damaged party's person, the victim's domain. But if you're in public, you're exempt from the first set of damage and liable for the second. So that's the ruling here. But
full liable for the second or half liable for the second?
Full liable. But it's a question of, again, where is that second vessel located? He's saying it's in the public domain. And now we ask the same question we just asked, which is he not that he propelled in the public domain? The starting zone was in the public and the damage was in the public. This is the same problem Rabbi Zera just had, where he said, if it's in the public domain, you're not liable for the damage it causes. And we get, again, this is the exact same response we just saw three slides ago. No, he propelled in the public domain, the damage occurred in the private domain. But Rabbi Zera, you said, uprooting is not here, landing is here. And once again, he says, I retract that. So this seems to imply that an animal that causes damage, that sets the pebbles flying in the public domain, and they do damage in the public domain, he would be responsible for half damages, based on the Rabbi Zera is wrong. Okay, we metaphorically turn the page. We're now on Daf 19b. Eni, is this so? Rabbi Yirmiyah is not having it. He wants to continue to pile on to Rabbi Zera, and he's going to do that by bringing up Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan has a saying, half damages is not distinct, neither in the private domain nor the public domain. What does it mean? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is no difference when it comes to half damages between public domains and private domains. Here, the rule of half damages always apply. The where is unimportant. Is this not where he propelled in the public domain and it damaged in the public domain? So we have that same question again. And it seems to imply once again that if the animal sets pebbles flying in the public domain, they do damage in the public domain, then he should be responsible, according to Rabbi Yochanan, for half damages because it's universal. But the Talmud says, now for the third time, you said uprooting is not here, landing is here. I'm not going to explain it again. And Rabbi Zera says again, I retract that. So that's his third retraction. But the Talmud wants to come along and offer a different resolution here for Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, if you prefer, say that Rabbi Yochanan said form. So they're talking about, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about damages done by the horn, and his statement had nothing to do with pebbles at all. So in the case of horn, he would be obligated for half damages in the public domain, but not for pebbles. And with that, you may all be happy to know we're out of pebbles for the moment. And we start a new sugya. So Rabbi Yehuda the prince, Yehuda Hanasi, and Rabbi Yeshaya were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Yehuda, and a matter was raised between them. So the rabbis are hanging out in Rabbi Yehuda's house in the front porch. And just like you and your friends, they're not talking about last night's football game. They're talking about halacha. And they bring up a question. This is a new question. What if an animal damages by swishing its tail? And notice that we don't know who's asking the question between the two of them. That I can't resist because I love words. The Hebrew word for swishing or wagging is kishkesh. It's the last Hebrew word in line. And I did a little research. I can't find it, but it strikes me that this is an onomatopoeia, that this is the sound of a tail swishing. Kishkesh, kishkesh. All right, that was my little graphic experiment there.
You know, a visual would be nice.
If I could have got the cat to come here and do it live.
Hey, come on.
Oh, he's in the room, but he's not on the desk. Okay. Now, the issue here is really about doing this in the public domain, right? The question is really, it's back to what we've been talking about. Is this like horn, where you are exempt, or foot, for which you are liable? So that's the question. How do we rate damages by swishing? So we know they're Jewish, but they're each going to ask a rhetorical question. So the other rabbi says to him, are we going to walk down the street with the animal and hold its tail so he doesn't swish? What does that mean? It implies the animal should be exempt because that's what animals do. They swish their tail and we can't really do anything about it. Okay, but the other one comes back by answering the question with a question. Well, let's talk about horn then. Should he walk around and hold the animal's horn, which we know nobody does? So therefore, he should be liable for damages caused by the tail. The Talmud rejects this. How can you compare these two things? Horn is unusual, tail swishing is usual. Therefore, in the case of horn being unusual, we don't expect the owner to guard his ox by holding onto the horn. But we do expect an animal to switch his tail. And therefore, we don't hold the owner responsible for not stopping this damage. But if we agree to that, that tail swishing is usual, then why do we even have a question? If tail swishing is usual, there's no liability because animals are not liable for things that they normally do in the public domain. Horn is not something they normally do, goring. So why are we even asking this question? It can't be what you think it is. And sure enough, we're not talking about swishing, we're talking about excessive swishing. So presumably one needs to be careful about his animal that excessively swishes. So therefore that is unusual and therefore the owner is liable.
And how does one measure excessive swishing?
I'm not a rabbi, I can't answer that. And now that we're here, and you know, Talmud talks about everything. There is nothing into which it may not discuss. We're gonna take this question to another level. And I would say to you, it's kind of a downward level. So here we have Rabbi Ina, who is not mentioned much in the Talmud, and probably because he asks questions like this. Okay, it's not swishing its tail, it's swishing its sexual organ. Now what is the liability? Shall we say it is the same as horn, meaning this is unusual for an animal to be doing in the public domain, and therefore if it damages something with its member, he's liable. We have two ways to look at this question. The first, and again, the Hebrew is translated literally, so it's a little hard to understand. One way to look at this is to say that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, took hold of this animal, and therefore it is like horn, no pun intended, and therefore he's liable. In other words, it's an unusual act. Or the other way to look at this is its intent was to damage. With horn, an animal intends to damage. But with its member, it doesn't intend the damage, and therefore it's not liable.
I have brought a tail. Here's a tail for visual effect.
Let's make it swish a little bit.
They're tabling the question.
Yes. Okay, so the resolution to this question is they're both good answers. Take two. We don't know. Larry, you had a question or you just wanted to wag?
Think about it. Sleep on it. I don't know. What do you want to call it?
Okay. All right. We're done with swishing. We now have the next section of the Mishnah, and now we're back to chickens. Chickens are muad to walk in their way and break things. In other words, it is normal for a chicken to walk and break things. So Rabbi Huna said, this is only taught where it was damaged, it attached on its own, but it attached by a human being, he is liable. So the Mishnah here was talking about a case where the bird had a string wrapped up in its legs. And the question is, what is the liability if that chicken damages something? So Rav Huna, who is a second generation Babylonian Amora and a student of Rav the Great, he's saying, let's limit this case to only where the chicken wrapped the string up on its own. But if a human being did it, then that person is liable for full damages. That's a problem, as we'll see. So it seems like a reasonable solution. Chicken innocent, owner liable. So what about the case where the chicken got wrapped up in the string by itself? Who should be liable? And of course, there's two possibilities, the owner of the string or the owner of the chicken. You can think ahead as an exercise at home who you would charge. So if we say, let's take case one, it's the owner of the string, he's liable. Well, under what circumstances should he be liable? If he exercised good string hygiene and he put the string away in a safe place, then it was beyond his control. So therefore, he should be exempt. However, he did not put it in a safe place. He left the string out in the chicken yard. Then has he been negligent? Now, this happens to me all the time. I leave the string out, the chicken picks it up. I can't help it. There's really a problem here though, right? So the Mishnah says that whoever puts the string out, let's go back a second, is liable, the human being, full damages. But if the owner did not put it in, then he should pay, I'm sorry, I gotta go back a second. The Mishnah says he's liable for half damage. The part I did not quote. But Rav Huna says he's liable for full damage. So in the case of the owner of the string, if he did take care of the string properly, he's exempt. If he didn't take care of the string properly, he's negligent and he has to pay. And according to Rav Huna, that's full damages. But the Mishnah says half damages. So how do we reconcile those two things? So maybe that can't be the case. Rather, the answer is it's not the string owner, it's the chicken owner, and he is liable. So the person liable for half damages is the owner of the chicken. And this is answer number one. There's going to be two answers to this question. So before we answer that, I guess I'm going to go with a verse here. So here's a proof text that's going to be brought up as an answer. And we've had this in the past when we talk about pit. I hear chicken noises. When a man opens a pit, etc., and an animal falls into it, the one responsible for the pit must make restitution. He pays for the damage. So this is the proof text. When a man opens a pit, that's the words you have to know. So back to the chicken owner. He's asking the question why he should pay half damages and not full damages. And the answer the Talmud gives is it does a midrash on the words if a man opens a pit. Because they're saying, well, the text says if a man opens a pit. It doesn't say if an ox opens a pit. Therefore, an ox can never be liable for the damage that a pit causes. And only the owner can be liable. So what they're saying here is back to the chicken and the string, right? The man can't be liable because the chicken did the string. And there's no liability for chickens for themselves. But there's a problem with this logic, which is it applies to all damages. So we've been talking about horn and foot and tooth and all that. If you want to go under the ruling here of it always has to be the man that causes it, then there's never ever going to be any liability. So it doesn't make any sense. So we still don't understand why the Mishnah says he is obligated for half damages, not full damages.
Of course, whoever's leading the ox should have known the pit was there.
Well, the question is the ox can't make a pit. And the chicken can't make string damage. So what does it do? It reinterprets the Mishnah. So this is the second answer. It's a complete reinterpretation. The Mishnah refers to where it moved, and the statement made by Rav Huna was said in general. So the Mishnah, here's what they're saying. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the chicken made the string move or fly, and not a case where the chicken's legs were wrapped up in the string. Because the chicken wrapped up by the string is ruled as the case of pebbles. Told you we can't escape it. And the Mishnah says half damages for pebbles. So it would be half damages for tied up strings. So that brings us back to Rav Huna, who says the liability. An ownerless string, Rav Huna said, if it attached on its own, he's exempt. Attached by a human, he is liable. So Rav Huna was not talking about the Mishnah. Rav Huna was talking about an ownerless string that becomes attached to a chicken. And if it's attached on its own, there's no liability. If it's attached, the owner attached it, there's full liability. To which makes the Talmud ask, this is our last slide, on the basis of what is he liable? So here's a case where the Talmud is trying to do the, not quite the 10,000 foot view, but the 1,000 foot view, right? The Talmud is always trying to figure out an abstract category to file things under. So on the basis means, is this, what primary or secondary category can we put this under? Foot, tooth, whatever. And Rabbi Huna Bar Manoach says, on the basis of a pit that rolls under the foot of a person or feet of an animal. So this is a special category called a rolling pit. And believe it or not, we actually covered this in chapter one, way, way back. And it really refers to objects that are left in the public domain that move around, like a skateboard. So in that case, the ruling was for, in cases like this, that you were liable for half damages, not full damages. And that is it for tonight. I am happy to tell you that next week, I stop here because we have a new Mishnah and we are moving away from pebbles and we're going to talk about the tooth, animals.
Ah,
Whoa, how exciting.
Yes, I can.
Yes, you're called.
Any questions?
Do you think that any of these rulings have anything to do with just basic economics, like the depending on, you know, what the economy would be if you started making chickens liable? You know, I mean, is there practical decisions in what they're saying?
I think so, because if you remember a while back, we talked about, remember, if you're the best of the land and the medium and the low grade, right. And the rabbis put protections in so that rich people would lend money and that poor people wouldn't be taxed, that's the wrong word, too heavily pressed to pay things back. And there's an overall Talmudic statement that the rabbis are careful of the money of the people of Israel. So yes, I would say so. And in fact, I'm just thinking aloud, maybe the pebbles rules even an effort in that case, because it sounds like the pebbles should be full damages, but they just throw their hands up and say, I don't care what logic you use, it's always half. Maybe. But I think that's always an underlying consideration.
Got it.
All right, folks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. Stay safe.
Well, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.